The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show. This is Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association. I am one of the co-hosts for today. Today we will be discussing Chapter 8, Persistence, the Sustained Effort Necessary to Induce Faith, the 8th Step to Riches. We will also have a conversation with Summer Owens. She is an inspirational motivator, a teacher, an author, an entrepreneur. And as our guest, she will share her insight on the chapter. And her insight is sure to leave you saying, so what? And we'll share a little more about what that means when we return. Before we get into the show, I want to encourage everyone that you can join the conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone. And we absolutely do want this to be a conversation. And once you hear from all of our co-hosts and hear about the topic and hear from our guest in particular, I am sure you're going to have lots of questions and lots of things that you want to add to the conversation. So helping me guide this ship are several amazing co-hosts, and as I introduce each, I would ask them to share their aha from this chapter on persistence. First up is a force of nature, the speaker who only requires one name, Hall of Famer Pagin. Pagin, please join the show and share your aha from this chapter.
I am going to share because I was reading. I love buying a new copy of the book every year because I don't want to be look at how I've highlighted in the past year, so that when I'm reading something, I'm seeing it with fresh eyes. And I have to tell you, fresh eyes saw Chapter 8, Persistence, second paragraph, where it says, willpower and desire, when properly combined, make an irresistible pair. People who accumulate great fortunes are generally thought of as cold-blooded and sometimes ruthless. Often they are misunderstood. What they have is willpower, which they mix with persistence and place back of their desires to ensure the attainment of their objectives. And what stood out for me was how people can hold themselves back. I know that I've held myself back when I've pointed a finger at somebody else and felt that they were being cold-blooded and ruthless and never really thought about, am I misunderstanding them? Am I misunderstanding who they truly are? And what they really did was have this persistence and their desires. And rather than me pointing a finger, what am I doing to myself? Am I not being persistent? Am I not, you know, making my desires really, really important so that I can achieve what I want to achieve? I was a gang member in the Bronx, and I wish I had, I'm grateful that I had the awareness today that sometimes what we think other people are doing, we're seeing it from a perspective that is not of prosperity and not certainly thinking rich. To think rich is to truly know that we had the willpower and that we could mix with persistence, have the desire so that we can create an objective and know that others are going to look at us and think that we are ruthless or cold-blooded when really what we're doing is going after our dream. And we have to be aware that we're self-responsible and we are the ones that are going to determine where we're going. This is popping me today.
Well, that's very significant. So thank you for sharing. This is definitely a chapter that causes us to do some self-reflection. So thanks for sharing that. So this next co-host, this is actually one of my favorite parts of the show, Ms. Ursula Odom, and I get to say the name of her company is Sula 2. I don't know why I love the name of your company, so, but thank you and welcome to the show. Please share your aha and share a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, and thank you for that. The name of the company brings forth the spirit of my grandmother, who was called Sula, which is short for Ursula, and I am Ursula too. So therein lies the name of the company, Sula too. We make old new in everything we do, in that we will preserve and capture legacy information and share it with you and the world. Now, my aha comes from the fact that I really think that our body and our soul really wants to be persistent. In that, when I think of when I was a little girl, the first memory I have is crawling under my grandmother's bed and pulling out a box full of old letters and old photographs, a lock of her sister's hair, stamps, coins, and all kinds of mystery for me as a little girl. And I realized later on in life when I started analyzing who I am and what I like to do and what I want to do, what I make money doing, it all stemmed from that little girl who loved these old things. Becoming a preserver of legacies is who I am and who I was becoming at that time. And analyzing it later on in life helped me to become persistent with focusing on just that. When I realized that, hey, that's who I am, then I allowed myself to be who I am. And so with that, on page 164, it talks about the fact that if you're not persistent because you don't have a definite goal in mind, well, analyzing who I am and how did I get there helped me arrive at my goal, and then I can stay on track and be persistent to reach the goals that I have set. So that's my aha.
Well, fantastic. Boy, there is so much power in having the courage for self-evaluation. So thank you for sharing that. And next up is the 2018-2019 Les Brown Award recipient, Miss Ann McNeil, the master builder. Please introduce yourself and share your aha.
Galen, wow. Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives and legacies while thinking and growing richer. My aha, like the king, is on the first page. And really at the bottom, I'll read it. It says the building of a fortune generally involves the application of the entire 13 principles of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy. These principles must be understood and must be applied with persistence by all who would accumulate money. 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 One more time. Money. Drop down to the bottom of that page, he says, that if you find that you are indifferent, you may be sure that you have not yet acquired the money consciousness which you must possess before you can be sure of accumulating, I want to say, a great fortune. Fortunes gravitate to individuals whose minds have been prepared to attract them. And this jumps out at me because as an investor and as a volunteer with an organization called Better Investing, when I read this very first time, I never realized the connection between investing and mindset. Investing and mindset. We often talk about investing in ourselves, and Warren Buffett says that the greatest investment you can make is in yourself. But I believe it starts with a persistent mindset to be money conscious. A persistent mindset to be money conscious. One more time. A persistent mindset to be money conscious. That was my aha in the reading of this. And so when I internalize that and say, okay, how am I being persistent in my investing? Not just in myself, but in my finances. And over time, I had to learn that persistence in investing comes from setting up all of your accounts automatically. For example, I have a short-term savings that's automatically set up. Many years ago, it was just $10 to go into my credit union account. Then I have a long-term savings set up to go into a brokerage account, just automatically $20. And so on and so on. If we think about the persistence that it takes to be money conscious, it really is doing a little over a long period of time. Thank you. That's it, Gabriel. My aha moment.
Wow, just always insightful, always insightful. Thank you so much for that. So this is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist and personal excellence coach, author, and speaker. I believe that everyone is designed to be the greatest in the world at something, and my passion is around helping people find their thing so that they could celebrate being the greatest in the world. And for me, on page 169, it really jumped out at me because Hill says that persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by force of repetition of acts of courage. Everyone who's seen active service in war knows this. Then Hill challenges all of us to take a courageous inventory of ourselves as it pertains to the 16 symptoms of lack of persistence. Then he warns extensively against succumbing to the fear of criticism. This fear kills your dreams even before they have a chance to breathe the oxygen of life. This is a part where if you can't say amen, you should at least say ouch, as my pastor used to say, because this is what so many people struggle with. And we literally allow what we believe others are saying about us, what we believe others are thinking about us, to keep us from pursuing our dreams. And I frequently challenge my coaching clients to think back to high school and try to remember the three most popular classmates in those high school days. And depending on how long and how many experiences they've had since high school, that could be a challenge. And then I asked them to think of one criticism each of those people actually voiced to them. And usually that requires mind-racking. Next, I ask if any of those criticisms, if they were true then, are they true today? And most of them say no. If they can remember any of them, most of them say, well, no, they weren't true then and they're not true today. And then lastly, I ask, when was the last time you even talked to either any of those three people that might have criticized you? And frequently there's a blank stare. I go through that with my clients because for me, it really brings to life the words of Dr. Maya Angelou, where she says that we often forget what people say, we forget what people do, but we never forget how they make us feel. And we hold on to those feelings and then often build what-if scenarios around those feelings to protect us from feeling that way again, never stopping to consider whether those scenarios are real or realizing that most of those scenarios are just figments of our imaginations. But we've built up so much energy around trying to protect ourselves against them. Actually hold us back from accomplishing our goals and the things that we were put here to do. And lastly, I'll just say, like Hill says, we defeat the fear of criticism by embracing the words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, where he says, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important. Then we have to apply persistence in order to induce faith. So that was my aha. I just kind of brought together a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different experiences that I've had. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're now going to go to commercial, but when we return, we will talk to our guest, Summer Owens. This is going to be an amazing conversation. She is an absolutely phenomenal person. It's even hard to put her into a category. So if you've got anything pulling at your attention, please try to manage it. Tweet, Facebook, connect with friends. Get everyone you can think of to join this part of the conversation because your life will be forever changed. So let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Number 1 is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling a reason for doing what it is we do. Step 2 is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step 3 is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts. The burning desire
to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Goals, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And again, I want to remind you that you can join today's conversation by dialing 661-554-9218 and then hitting 1 on your phone. And just like that, you will be part of the conversation. You can ask questions and make comments to any of our co-hosts or our guests. But speaking of our guests, I'm going to resist the temptation to just read our guest bio on the air. She is just that amazing. She's had a corporate career with the Memphis Grizzlies, service master, FedEx. She leverages her life's challenges to help others overcome theirs. She's the founder and CEO of So What LLC and a foundation as well. She's an author. Boy, I tell you, I could just go on and on. I encourage everyone to go to her website, www.summerowens.com. You will be blown away at what Summer has done and continues to do to motivate the youth in particular. I've got to share this very quick story, personal story. When I first met Summer, it was my first year as a member of the Black National Speakers Association. and it was at our national conference, and saw Summer. She was she had a warm but decidedly take charge personality, and admittedly, I wasn't overly impressed with her taking charge, because many of the people in the organization, particularly the leadership, they kind of own their own space. To see someone up front kind of taking charge, it was kind of par for the course. But I became really impressed when I realized that this lady was just as new to the organization as I was. So where I was laying back in the cut, waiting and trying to evaluate, she just jumped in and just started doing whatever she felt she could do in order to move the organization forward. And from that point, I've just been a major, major fan. So Summer, welcome to the show. Tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, your life journey, and how you've become a fan of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gayla. I appreciate you sharing that story. So I am the founder of So What, and that is my business where I teach people how to say so what to whatever challenges they face, and so now what to move forward and make decisions to be successful in spite of those challenges. And I'm just so honored to be a part of NSA and Black NSA in particular, and I'm really thankful that I found my way to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, because it has been, it's been a game changer for me. And I actually think that it's nothing happens by mistake. Nothing in life happens by mistake. And it's so funny to me that I am on this interview for the persistence chapter in particular, because I've always, since I was a little girl, been called stubborn. I've always been called stubborn, and of course stubborn has a very negative connotation to it, and I never could understand why people would call me stubborn, and I always felt insulted when they called me stubborn. But a lot of things happened in my life where that stubbornness really turned into determination, and I was determined to overcome my obstacles that I was facing so that I could be successful. And as I read the book, and of course, I've always known what the meaning of persistence was, but as I was reading Think and Grow Rich, this chapter in particular really stood out for me, and it really made me feel better about myself and who I am. And one of you before mentioned this, I think, said it really kind of helps you to understand yourself and appreciate yourself, and that's what this chapter did for me. The book in, as a whole, that said, has really, really helped me to focus in my business, but this particular chapter helped me to turn that negative connotation of stubbornness into persistence, and for me to take my stubbornness and what people may see as defined by refusing to change, and helping me to form it into persistence, which is refusing to give up. And that's what I have done with my life, is refuse to give up, no matter what challenges I face. And in just in reading the book, again, I refreshed myself last night, and I was just thinking about the steps to develop persistence. And number one, and I see that's why I am the person that I am, and the very persistent person that I am, is that is a definite purpose backed by burning desire for its fulfillment. And that's what I have had in my life, and a lot of it has come from some of the challenges, and one of the major challenges that I had was becoming a mother when I was 15 years old as a result of rape. And I had this burning desire to be successful, to still have my life and to still overcome those obstacles and to beat all the statistics that teen moms face. And so that burning desire is what helped me to turn that stubbornness into a very, very persistent woman. Another thing that stood out for me is in the symptoms for a lack of persistence, and one of them is fear of criticism. And it was so interesting for me reading that in particular, because in the book it's basically describing fear of criticism as something that keeps people from being persistent. But for me, it was different,
because that fear of criticism, because I had become a teen mother, and by someone I did not know, I was already getting that criticism. And I didn't want to continue to be criticized by not living up to my potential and not fulfilling my goals and living out my dreams. And it was actually that fear of criticism that drove me, that pushed me to achieve the things that I've achieved in my life, which included graduating from high school at the top of my class and being voted most likely to succeed, getting a full scholarship to college where I graduated magna cum laude and was at Miss University of Memphis. And I've had a successful corporate career since then until I started my speaking business 6 years ago, which gave me a new definiteness of purpose. After I wrote my book, I figured out what my life was all about and why I had gone through the things that I had gone through. And this new this persistence has really helped me in getting my message out and really growing my business.
Oh, my. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here. Just an amazing life story. And I just love how you have resisted the temptation that so many of us fall victim to, which is looking at life experiences as the reason why you can't. And, you know, you have certainly used those experiences as reasons for you too. And I really, really appreciate that. And all of my co-hosts are eager to jump into the conversation, and I'm going to bring them in here shortly. But I just want to remind everyone that this is a conversation you absolutely need to be a part of. Please get to your phones, dial 661-554-9219, and then hit 1 on your phone, and you can be joined to this conversation. This is absolutely going to be one of the better ones that we've had in a while. So before we bring in my co-host, want to go to another very, very quick commercial. And then when we come back, we will continue the conversation with Ms. Summer Owens.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Ms. Summer Owens, and you've just heard her story. And Summer, thank you for sharing. And I've got one of your largest fans here that is with me, and Ms. Ann McNeil is dying to share share a question with you. So is Ms. Ursula Owen. But first up is Pagin. Pagin, please share some of the questions that we were talking about before the show.
So, Summer, the power of criticism of what you just shared, wow, mind-blowing and so powerful. And I know that you must have had a lot of criticism when you decided to leave corporate America and start So What. So the question I have to ask you is, why So What? And tell me how you started the business.
Sure. So in 2010, I published my memoir, the book about my life that I had started writing when I was in college. And the reason why I started writing the book was because people would see me on campus with my son, and they knew I was a very involved student. I have gone to school on a leadership scholarship that required me to be involved in several organizations and take on leadership roles. And so I had meetings, I had events, I had a lot going on. But I was still a mother, and so my son was in the meetings with me often. He was at the events with me often. And people also knew that I was making good grades. I only made one B in college the whole time I was in college, the rest A's. So people knew that, and I also worked. I had a full-time job. And so people knew that I had a lot going on, and they were like, how do you do it? And at the time, my answer was, I don't know. I don't have time to talk about it. I just have time to do it. And so I went through my life, and after I graduated, I started working for the Memphis Grizzlies, where I worked probably 60 to 80 hours a week, and I still was a single mother. And then I went to work at ServiceMaster after I got my MBA, and then I went to work at FedEx. And by the time I got to FedEx, let me say this too, when I was at ServiceMaster, I had to travel a lot as a single mother. So the Memphis Grizzlies and ServiceMaster were really great jobs, but they were very demanding and very hard for me as a single mother with no family in the city where I live. And so when I got the job at FedEx for the first time, I had a normal job. I worked 40 hours a week, and there was even some flexibility where I could work from home. And also I wasn't in school because most of my life up until that point I had been in school. Even mm-hmm. up to get my master's degree. And so I took the time at that point to write my book, and I was also going through a divorce. And so that was something that was very therapeutic for me. I only wrote the book because for the first time in my life, I could really kind of see past myself, because I had been in survival mode since I had become a mother. And by the time mm-hmm. I got to FedEx, I was making a good salary, and I was – you know, I really felt like I wasn't doing anything because I only had one job and I wasn't in school. And so I wanted to share my story because I wanted to show teen mothers that they did not have to drop out of high school, and they could go to college, because I knew the statistics on it and I was seeing a lot around me. And I was like, that's ridiculous. They can. They need to see how. And so I wrote the book, and then it just took off. So many people started reading the book that weren't teen moms. There were other kids who weren't parents at all, people that were my mom's age. There were men reading the book. There were just so many people reading it and telling me, Summer, this isn't a book for teen moms. This is a book for anybody who has any excuse not to be successful. And so as people started asking me to speak, inviting me to churches and schools, and I said, and I am a shy person by nature. It's so crazy that I'm in this business now. I'm really shy by nature, but I'm like, I got to sell this book, so I got to get out and talk about it. And so I started doing that, and every time I would talk, I would have a line of people waiting to speak to me afterwards, and it felt great. And I said, okay, so something I said is helping somebody. And then I would go back to work, and because I would be doing this on my lunch breaks, I would be doing it on the weekends, or I would do it in the evenings after work. And I would go back to work to a job that I absolutely loved. I worked in advertising at FedEx, and like I said, for the first time, I really felt like I had good work-life balance. And I would go back to work, and all I could think about is, how can I talk to some more people? How can I share my story with more people? And so when FedEx actually issued a buyout, I said, I'm going to put in for the buyout. And long story short on that, I did not get the buyout, but I knew in my heart it was time for me to go. I felt like I was going to go anyway, but I felt like, honestly, God sped up that timeline. When FedEx put out the buyout, I put in for it. I didn't get it, and I still felt like it was time to go. Mm. And so That's how I ended up leaving my job. I am a person of faith, and when I started speaking and people started asking me, you know, to share my story more and more and more, like, what is this? Because I actually was starting to get tired because I was working all day. I still was a single mother. And I said, what is this? It's got to be some type of business around it. And I, in my sleep one night, it came to me and said, Summer, your business is called So What? And I am a big fan of Oprah, like I think so many people. And I loved how she had incorporated her name into her business when she had Harpo Studios. And I said, you know what? My business is so personal to me. It is all based on my life and my challenges and how I use that to help other people. So I like the SO for Summer Owens. And And that's how the whole platform that I have is saying, you know what, some messed up things happen in your life. Either you're born into messed up situations or you create messed up situations, but you can either succumb to those or you can figure out how to overcome those. And so the Serenity Prayer has always been a basis for me and everything that I do in my life too. And so what is based on the Serenity Prayer? It's having the serenity to accept the things that you can't change. That's saying, so what? And then having the courage to change what you can, that's the so now what part. Now, the wisdom to know the difference, that's something we're always working on. I'm constantly working on that. But I've gotten so much better at saying, okay, this thing happened, so what? And the worst things in the world happen to us sometimes. But we, like I said, we can either say so what, or we can sit around feeling sorry for ourselves, or we can figure out how to move forward and use that to fuel us into something greater or to help somebody else.
So what? I love that. And you just are so inspiring. Thank you for sharing the details. Serenity Prayer is one of my favorites. So thank you for making me say today a lot. So what?
I appreciate that. And I don't think I answered the question real quick about leaving FedEx. Yeah, people thought I was crazy when I quit, when I walked away without the buyout. People thought that I was crazy. Some people still think I'm crazy because they don't understand my business or how I operate. But I knew, like I said before, I found my purpose. I found my calling, and that my life was so much bigger than me, and that I was supposed to be using what I've gone through to help other people's lives. And I knew I couldn't stay in a job, even though I loved it, I couldn't stay in a job that limited my ability to impact other people's lives.
Wow.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that. And I tell you, you may be a little crazy, but it takes crazy to do anything of any level of greatness. So congratulations on being at least a little crazy.
Thank you.
So Ursula Odom, I know you are a big fan of Summer Owen. So what questions do you have, and how can we continue this conversation?
First of all, I got to get over the S-O, as in Summer Owens, being a part of the name. So what? I love it. It's so cool. But I want to add something based on what you just said. So what? And then S-O-W, I have to check the spelling, but doesn't that mean sow seeds into people's lives?
Oh, I like that. Yes, and you know what? I think that's a subconscious thing, because that wasn't something that I deliberately did. But yes, I love that.
And from everything you have said so far, that's exactly what you do. Now, my question to you is that you, as a part of your title, A Memoir of Survival, it reminds me of when I wrote about my mother in my life lyrics called At Zula's Feet. I wrote about my mother being mentally ill, and it was the first time I'd actually had a conversation with anybody about it. I mean, it was my badge of shame. I mean, I just wouldn't talk about it. But here I am writing about it in a book. And when the world didn't crash in on me and I was able to survive, it was the most therapeutic thing that I had ever done. So how has your book transformed you as a person on a personal level?
So it's amazing that you just said that, because when I wrote my book, it was the first time I had shared the details of my experience too. So people knew that I was a teen mother, obviously, and people knew that it was a forced sexual experience, but nobody knew all the details behind it. I never pressed charges. I never went to counseling. I never really even dealt with the fact that it had happened to me. I really just pressed forward. That stubbornness in me is like, okay, I'm not going to be the stereotypical teen mom. I'm going to make it. And I didn't deal with all those other issues. And so when I wrote my book, I cried as I... I cried. My computer was wet. I had to keep moving back from because I was crying throughout the whole book. So there were even parts that I'm like, oh my gosh, that hurt me. I didn't even realize that certain things bothered me so much until I was writing about them. Including how I got pregnant and how I moved forward from those things. But it was the most therapeutic thing that I could have ever done. And so it felt amazing to be able to share my story in that way and really kind of heal for myself. And then, too, for people who were close to me to know my story and to really start to understand. Now, it was challenging, and I don't know if you experienced this or not, but when you do tell your story and it involves other people, sometimes that's a challenge. And so I dealt with a number of challenges regarding that because my story is not just my story. But it was something that I felt I had to tell. And and regarding the title, it was survival, because being a teen mother at 15 by someone who was not there, someone I did not even know, and leading up to even just my son now is 24 years old, but his teenage years were really, really difficult for me too, still being a single mother. And so I do feel like that was something that I survived. I had a lot of great moments in there, but it was really, really, really hard. But throughout, I had lots of successes. And I wanted to share the story to show the balance between, you know, that battle that we have to fight to get through what we're going through. But there is success on the other side. And it's really not even a you fighting in their success. It's a cycle. You fight in their success. You fight in their success. You fight in their success. And it's a continuous thing, but you learn how to get stronger and better if you are, you know, to the topic that we're talking about, if you're persistent, if you don't give up and you just hang in there. And so, yeah, that's my story.
Wow. Now, I actually have another question, but we have a caller that has a question. So I'm going to ask for permission to come back with a follow-up question, if you don't mind, because that was wonderful.
Sure. Okay, thank you, sure.
All right, so we're going to hear from the caller.
Morning, Good morning, can you hear me?
I can.
Absolutely.
Awesome, Summer. My name's Tylene Henry. I'm with Mablik in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm just so blown away to hear your story and to just hear the power coming. Just to feel the power of just being in the presence of this conversation and the amazing success that you've had, which is clearly, you know, due to how focused and how clear you are on what your goals are, what you want to accomplish. And obviously, you're very well organized to have been so successful, you know, raising a child as a teen mother, getting through college, leading organizations, and it's just really inspiring to hear. But one of the questions that I have for you is, you know, to this day, even when you're experiencing challenge, when you're experiencing success, you know, what is kind of your regimen for yourself? Because I'm a single mom. You know, I run a couple of businesses. I'm a leader in a couple of organizations. You know, how do you keep yourself full? What are some of the things that you do for yourself so that you can be strong to continue to take on challenges and to continue to, you know, be relentlessly successful?
First of all, thank you so much for your kind words, and I do want you to stay encouraged, because I know it can be really, really, really challenging. So for me, the one thing that I do when, because I still get overwhelmed, and when I was a mother, or I am a mother, of course, still, but when I was raising my son and I didn't have a lot of help, and I was a leader on my job and with other organizations as well, I had to give myself permission to retreat. I had to give myself permission to relax. I had to give myself permission to not get everything done all the time. One of the main things that I do and started doing even when I was in high school was prioritizing, recognizing what my priorities were. I learned how to use a Franklin planner very early on, and of course that's transferred into digital forms. But I wrote down everything that had to be done, and then I gave it a priority number, and then I gave myself permission to not do so the threes, basically. If I didn't get it done, I just didn't get it done. Then I also am really, really, really involved in my church, or I was really involved in my church. I'm not as much, honestly, as I would like to be now, but my faith is very strong, and so I pray a lot. I find time to pray a lot and breathe a lot, and I give myself permission to relax. So I also I teach at the University of Memphis. I teach a life skills course, and my book is the textbook. And one of the topics that I teach in there is about time management, and it goes back to prioritizing. But then it's also about self-care and learning how to take care of yourself. So I like to exercise, not as much as I should, but I like to exercise because I find that gives me the energy to get a lot of things done. But the other thing that I did, and I still do to this day, but especially when I was a young mother, is I found a support system. Like I said, I do have family, and my mother especially is wonderful, but she does not live in the same city that I live in, and she didn't live in the same city when I was raising my son. And so I found a support system in people who would be there for me, and that started as early as me being in college. So when I was in high school, I had my grandmother. I lived with my grandmother, and she was a huge help for me. But when I moved to Memphis away from home and I had my son with me, I didn't have family. I found people who cared about me. They saw that I was working hard, and they were willing to help. And so I had to learn how to lean on those people and ask for help. And sometimes it's really difficult for us. If you're a strong woman, feel pretty independent, you're like, I can get it all done, it's sort of hard to ask for help. But I got really good at learning how to ask for help and not being too disappointed when the help didn't come. Because sometimes the people that you think are going to help you won't. And then in my case, a lot of the people that I never thought care so much about me and my success, they were there and they did help me. So those are some of the key things that I think I did when I was more in your position as a mother, balancing a whole lot of things. I did relax. I gave myself permission to relax. I've learned how to prioritize, and I leveraged help. Does that help you?
So powerful. Thank you so much. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And what was so powerful to me is when you said, you know, being able and giving your being asking for help, you know. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, like you said, many of us, you know, that are proud and, you know, strong and we're doing this and that, we don't really feel as comfortable and don't even sometimes think about asking for help. So and just those different strategies and tactics that you mentioned to keep yourself self-full, prayer, exercising, making sure that you have the proper energy that you need. Thank you so much for that. It was very powerful and very helpful.
You are so welcome.
All right, so Summer, hey, we're going to take a short commercial break, but when we come back, Summer, I'd love for you to be thinking about a question that I have, and it's really around this idea that we all struggle with self-doubt and negative self-talk. As a matter of fact, research shows that 69% of all self-talk is negative and self-critical. So after we come back from commercial, I'd love to hear your thoughts as to some of the things that you do to combat negative self-talk so that you can continue to go out and do amazing things. I'd love to get your thoughts on that when we come back. But right now, let's take a very, very brief commercial.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back, and please do dial in to join the conversation. We've been talking with Summer Owens, and this has been an amazing conversation. Before the break, Summer, I asked that you come back and share your insights and just kind of reveal some of the things that you do to combat negative self-talk, because as organized and as positive and as optimistic as we all try to be, we all get those touches of doubt. How do you combat that, overcome that, to continue to do all the amazing things that you've been talking to us about?
Okay, thank you. And I definitely am a person who has self-doubt. I experience that just like everybody else. I think there are really three key things that I do when this comes to me, when self-doubt comes to me, and I'm so glad that I've experienced enough that it doesn't stay with me very long. Whenever I'm doubting if I can do something or if I should do something or if I'm capable of something, I can really get through it pretty quickly using three things that I do. One, I remind myself of when I've achieved something that I thought I couldn't achieve. I remind myself of something that I achieved when I thought I couldn't, because there have been plenty of situations in my life that I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And, you know, one of the biggest ones was graduating from high school. I graduated number 8 in my class. I was in the top 10. I was the only African-American student in the top 10 of my class. And my goal, honestly, was just to graduate with honors, because I just wanted to graduate with honors. But I exceeded that goal, and I really didn't think that that could happen for me, and I was voted most likely to succeed, and that was unbelievable to me, because a lot of my classmates criticized me, because at the time when I was a teen mom, it wasn't as prevalent as it is now, and so I felt a lot of self-doubt then. I felt bad. I felt horrible, but then I achieved that goal, and I exceeded that goal, actually. So now when I have self-doubt, I go back to that 15-year-old girl who had a baby and still achieved those things. And then, like I said, there are so many more examples I've had in my life since then. Second thing I do is I equip myself with knowledge. And so whatever it is that I'm thinking I can't do or something that I want to do, it seems really, really difficult, because I've done a lot of things that I think are difficult, and I have a lot of goals now that are difficult. And with me just leaving the Influence Conference and seeing amazing people there doing amazing things, I'm like, I want to do those things too. But self-doubt does kick in. But what I do is equip myself with knowledge. I make connections to people who have that knowledge. I use my resources like the internet, which can give me the information that I need, and that helps to alleviate a lot of my self-doubt. And a third thing that I do, and I don't know how this may sound, but I'll just be quite honest with you, is that I look at other people who have done what I want to do, and in a lot of cases, I'm like, if they can do it, I know I can do it. If they can do it, I know I can do it. And that's not to slight them in any way, but there are a lot of people who are doing amazing things, and I'm like, they're probably pretty average people too. And if they can do it, I know I can do it. And so when I do those three things, it puts me in a position where I am and how I feel. And I do honestly feel like there's absolutely nothing that I cannot do. that I want to do. If there's something I want to do, I know I can. I just have to do the work to make it happen. So that's how I deal with self-doubt, Galen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I can tell excuses really have a hard time hanging out with you because you are just a force of nature. This is amazing. We've got a caller that has just come in, and that just reminds me, if you have any questions and you want to join this conversation, please do dial in 661-554-9219. We've got a caller, I believe, from the Miami Beach area, area code 786. You're live with Summer Owens.
Good morning, Summer. This is Thomasina. I apologize, everyone, for the background noise. I'm in an airport, but my question is really quick. I'm wondering, Summer, when are you going to put your life skills course online so that you can reach more people and those of us who do not live in Memphis can have the benefit of your wisdom and experience?
Oh, wow. Thank you for asking that. I really appreciate that. It's funny that you asked that because I have started working on that. The class that I teach at the University of Memphis, a lot of my students have said that, too, that they wish that they could have taken the class earlier and that they wish that their friends could take it. And so, yeah, you just helped me to push that up my priority list.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for the conversation this morning.
Absolutely. And if you go to my website and connect with me, and that's how, you know, you can know, because I promote everything that I do because I just want to get the word out and try to help people. So if you connect with me there, then you can see when that does go live.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, this has been a fantastic conversation. We're going to take a very, very brief commercial break and then come back and bring in all of our co-hosts to share their ahas from this conversation. And if we've got any more calls coming in, we will definitely try to fit those in. But this has been of incredible help, I believe, to our audience. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our co-hosts.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I want to bring in my co-host. We've been listening and talking with Summer Owens, and she shared an amazing personal story and talked about how she has leveraged the principles from the book Think and Grow Rich and the chapter on persistence in particular. And I just want to kind of go around and see what were the key ahas from everyone on the co-host side. And I'll start. I'll just say from my perspective, this has been an amazing demonstration of the power of saying so what, regardless of your situations, regardless of what you might be tempted to feel bad about. So what? What are you going to do now? So that's the first aha for me. The second aha, and this is really kind of a personal thing, is my own personal fear of criticism. In that, here I was when I first met Summer. I was afraid of jumping in until I felt like I knew how the organization worked, and here she was just jumping in. And figuring things out as she was contributing. So that one of the things Miss Ann talked about a lot is if you read the book enough, the book starts to read you. So those were my ahas. Who's next? Pagin, you want to kick us off?
I do. Can you hear me? So Summer, oh my gosh, Yes, thank you for being here. I had two ahas too. One, the first aha is the memoir and sharing the power of writing your story and being able to, and why it was important, not only for you personally, but why it was important to share your story. And I appreciate that because I've been asked to do my memoir many times, and it's not until today that I heard the why. And thank you so much for that. The second thing that I loved was something that you just said casually, but it was, I promote everything I do so I can get the word out. And I tie that into the so what. Why I think that aha was so, that is so important, because you are driven by the passion of what you do and why you do it, and you have released and let go any perception of what will others think of me coming through the so what. So thank you so much for sharing that statement. I know for me it's something I'm going to be noodling around today because it's so powerful. So thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Ursula, what were some of your key ahas from this conversation?
Yes. I love when you talked about stubborn, because I was called stubborn all my life, and I produced two young women who are also stubborn. And now it's a new way to look at that. Determination, refusing to give up. Refusing to change, really meaning that you're going to be persistent and determined to get what you want, but you're going to equip yourself with the knowledge so that you can do it efficiently. Now, I had said earlier that I wanted to ask a follow-up question, and when you talked about your memoir, you said, and this is a aha for me, is that it's other people's story as well. So how did you deal with just that aspect of your memoir? It's other people's story, because I'm knee-deep in a lot of other people's story.
That's very delicate, and I can be honest that I didn't take it into consideration enough when I wrote that first book, but like I said, now, because I'm going to write another book, I'm going to write a follow-up. I'm just praying about it and sharing what I feel like the parts that have to be shared, and trying to be as respectful as possible to the other people that are part of the story. In some cases, I changed names. In some cases, I wasn't able to change names. But it is, it's a delicate balance. And then in where you can, you know, talk to those people who would be included and try to get buy-in from them. You may not, depending on what some of the story is, but it's a very, very personal thing, so it's very hard to answer the question. But I guess I think for me, it's just a matter of trying to be respectful of the other people that are involved, and just for yourself, just being aware that it isn't just your story, and it will affect other people.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Miss Ann McNeil, the master builder, please share your aha, and then also, if you can also share details about the annual meeting, the International Mastermind annual meeting as well.
Yeah, I have had the awesome opportunity to spend a week with Summer this week at Influence, which is the National Speakers Association annual conference. We were in Denver. And listening to you again, Summer, today continues to remind me to ask for help.
Mm.
And every time I hear your story, yes, every time I hear your story, and we're talking about the persistence chapter for Think and Grow Rich today, I keep hearing ask and then being persistent in the asking and pressing through whatever challenges that we may encounter, but in every area, and just ask. So that was my big aha as I continued to listen today and just jot down some things. I kept coming back to what resonates with Anne, what resonates with me from hearing you over and over as we communicated over the last, gosh, what has it been, two years or three, I forget.
Wow.
And it is to ask. It's to ask. So that's my aha from the show today. Okay, Galen. Now, as far as the International Mastermind Association annual meeting for your life, and this is a introduction for many people who are listening for the first time. It's a reminder for many of us that listen often. But every year, on the first Saturday in January, we are hosting a meeting for your life called the Think and Grow Rich Accountability Annual Meeting, where we come to the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton, Florida, and I like to akin this to asking each of us to think about having to go before a tribunal once a year. And you are required to give an account for the last 365 days that you invested or spent. And that tribunal will determine whether or not you get another 365 days to invest or spend. And so with that thought in mind, we have this annual meeting. It's not a conference. It is a meeting for your life. We ask people to come and bring their family, their children, and their friends, and look at this as an opportunity to get off the treadmill at least once before the year starts and really think about your goals and your plans and the activities you're going to participate in to achieve those goals for every area of your life. So that, Galen and everybody, is the goal and the mission and the purpose of why we come together, even though we come together 52 weeks and we do this show, but it all culminates to that January event called the Think and Grow Rich Accountability Annual Meeting for Your Life. So back to you, Galen.
Well, fantastic. Well, this has been an amazing show, and I want to thank all of our co-hosts and absolutely thank Summer Owens. Summer, before we close out, any final ahas from you, any final thoughts from you that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I was just thinking as I was listening to Ann and the ask for help and for the caller who called in, and I gave that advice not to be afraid to ask for help, but I think it's important because this is what I've experienced in my life personally, is to understand, and I did say it, but I think it's worth repeating, to understand that everybody won't help you and that everybody that you ask won't necessarily help you, and that sometimes we are afraid to ask for help. One, maybe because of pride, like the caller said, and we may feel like we got it and we can just figure it out. And the other reason might be because we've asked for help before and didn't get it. We may have been hurt by somebody because we asked for help and they weren't there for us. And I know this personally, like, again, for myself, and that has been a reason why, like, never mind, I'll just do it myself. I'll just figure it out myself because people have let me down. And that's something that we do have to get past, is understand that sometimes we might ask for help and we might not get it from certain people. But I think it ties back to the persistence chapter, and that we just have to be persistent in finding who is going to help us, finding who is supposed to be there to help us. And don't get discouraged because
one person, maybe even 10 or 100 people that we ask for help, don't help us. And it doesn't mean that people aren't willing to help you and that we have to be persistent in asking for that help. We also have that equal persistence in making things happen for ourselves.
Well, fantastic. There you have it. I mean, this has been another amazing show. And again, thank you so much for being on. And I'd like to leave everyone with a quote from one of my books, Impact, a Leadership Fable Companion, 200 Powerful Leadership and Personal Excellence Quotes. This one is from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, and he says, "Success, by its very nature, demands a period of overcoming, a process by which we become strong in broken places." And I think we've heard great examples of that from our guest and how she has leveraged persistence to become an amazing speaker, entrepreneur, educator, and just all around great person. So thank you. This has been Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, for the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show. Until next time, thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit International Mastermind.